What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews with short-term rental investors going through this process, willing to share the ups, the downs, and everything in between of their journey into short-term rental investing. And I'm really excited about our conversation today. We've got Matt and Ari Morris joining us, and they are smack dab in the middle of a setup on their first property. And so this is usually we talk to people after they've gone through the whole process, because it's a little risky for me to bring people on in what I call in the middle of kind of the, it's more than a week, but this is kind of like hell week of short-term rental investing. And so Matt and Ari, I appreciate you joining me for this conversation, to letting other people listen in on kind of exactly what you're experiencing through this setup phase. So appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. We're glad to be here.
Awesome. Well, let's start off. Tell everybody where you're from, your background a little bit, and kind of what got you interested in investing in short-term rentals in the first place.
All right. Well, we are from Memphis, Tennessee. We've been here since 05, I think 05. So 21 years. I am a pilot for FedEx. So that's where I'm based, here in Memphis, Tennessee. And after we got married in 07, we started dabbling in the long-term residential rental property. Bought some duplexes, several houses, and kind of built a little portfolio of the long-term rental, houses and things like that. And then kept those for 10, maybe 15 years, and then finally sold out of them in the middle, kind of cashed out in the big boom of that came right after COVID.
Yeah.
And put that money to work some other places, and wanted to get back into real estate, but didn't want to do the long term,
option.
So, yeah. So. But I'm from East Arkansas. She's from
Houston, Texas.
All right.
Yeah.
So nice. Awesome. Yeah. Well, so we got kind of right after the COVID boom with real estate prices skyrocketed. Nice time to exit. Sounds like you bought them at a good time. Probably during the slide of, the last kind of 2007, 8, 9, depending on when you were acquiring them, that was probably a pretty good time to be buying too. Right.
Yeah, we did. Just really lucked up. Bought them 2010, 2011, the market was pretty depressed here in Memphis.
Yeah.
And it's always been, Memphis has always been a fantastic place for rental property. Mm-hmm. Rents have always been pretty high here.
Yeah.
So it was a great return, great investment. And it still is a good place to invest for long-term rental properties. That we wanted to do something a little different.
Yeah. It's actually, when you hear about a lot of the turnkey companies that will do long-term rentals, because the acquisition cost versus that revenue on the long-term rental side, Memphis is always right at the top of the list for long-term rentals. And so was a good investment for you. What made you want to do something different because it sounds like that was a pretty successful venture into real estate. So what made you decide that I want to think about something besides the long-term rental side?
That's a great question. We knew of a couple of friends in our church that owned a property. One was down in Florida. One was in the Smoky Mountains, and they used it a lot, but they also rented it out. I kind of liked that idea. I thought, okay, that's pretty neat. I do like the thought of owning a place. Maybe I could use it, we could use it, but also rent it out. But that was even before we found Bodicey. Mm-hmm. And didn't know anything about the STR business. Matter of fact, Ari had a close friend that had tried to Airbnb several houses here in Memphis.
Right.
And it just didn't work out for her. I don't know if her processes were wrong, but she's really good with real estate, and she sold out of them and went back to long-term properties here in Memphis. So that, I remember thinking like, okay, maybe we don't need to go that route. That was obviously up until I found you guys. So
yeah,
Yeah.
And so had the, like, was it, was the attraction, like you mentioned, a couple of your friends, they liked the using the properties. Did that have, what, I mean, like, was that part of like, hey, we would like to own some properties that we actually can get some benefit from, outside of the financial benefit? Is that something that was high on the conversation list?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Loved, yeah. Loved the idea of having an investment, because with long-term residential rental property, it's only a monetary and return. I mean, you're not going to obviously use those properties. People are living there. So aside from, you know, being a pretty good place to put some money, there's no personal benefit of being able to use those properties. Right. And so, yeah, it was very intriguing to us to think, okay, yeah, maybe there's something to that.
Yeah. For, I know for me, that was, it was huge for me back when I started this, you know, into the short-term rental side of life, because I was just always a real estate guy. I mean, real estate's a great investment, I think, for so many people. There's so many benefits, but that added benefit of the personal use with lifestyle assets to me was a massive, I mean, it's a massive difference in it's hard to, it's hard to calculate that return, but it's an absolute return when it comes to a lifestyle upgrade to be able to use some of those properties and be able to create those memories, you know. And then, and so as you guys started having those conversations, you found Bodicea, you started looking into it a little bit deeper. What, like, walk me through that process of how are we selecting markets, right? We're in Memphis. You guys are fairly centrally located to a lot of different markets that you could get to. So walk me through that, that conversation about where you were looking for markets.
I think probably the first thing out of both of our mouths is where we ended up just buying at, because we were so familiar with that area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you remember, I'd ask questions, in some of your AMAs. Yeah. We knew going into that market, it was going to be an expensive market, and it's very,
and I am way less risky than my husband. So I kept saying, can we go somewhere maybe not quite as expensive for the first time jumping into all this? But we made some offers in the Smoky Mountains. We made some offers down here on 30A in Florida, and none of that panned out. And so I kind of was hands off. Okay, it's not, let's halt this process.
Yeah, let's go somewhere. But my mind just kept coming back to that, because I already knew that market so well.
Yeah.
And I knew several people who owned houses down there, and I'm just like, I know it can work. If it's done right, I know it can work. It's just, yeah, it looks really daunting diving into that market. And I remember initially thinking, you know what, maybe that is our fourth property. Maybe we start somewhere smaller, where you're dealing with a much smaller acquisition cost and less money in on the setup phase. And that's what drove us out to the Smoky Mountains when we started looking out there. But something just kept coming back to the to 38, just because we're so comfortable down there. We've been vacationing there for 20 plus years, both of us.
Right.
Even before we were married. So yeah, it was just, and the thought of owning a place down there and having it as an investment that's going to make money was just, again, it was just so intriguing.
Yeah.
So,
but lots of moving parts, and it's interesting where you go through that, you know, and that phase is pretty fresh on your minds, and it's very common where first you, like Ari, you were saying, I was like, maybe we just start with a smaller market, because in the back of our mind, we start smaller. We're like, if it doesn't work, I can still afford the property, right? If it doesn't work, I'm going to still be okay. We've got, you know, we can afford this. And sometimes that doesn't put us right where we want to go. But I always tell people, you know, as simple as, you know, we do a lot of things on spreadsheets and we analyze a lot of stuff. But when somebody says, where should I go invest? I said, tell me where you want to own a house, right? Tell me where you want to own a vacation home. Yeah. And let's start there and let's see if it works. And where you guys want it is a Class A resort market that is one, you know, there's a lot of option. There's a lot of, you know, people go there. Like you guys said, you've been going there for 30 years and lots of demand, lots of visitors, lots of supply, but not every home works. And so that's another part of the process you go through is you start looking at homes and things don't work out. And you're like, well, is it, you know, is it meant, like, maybe it's not meant to be, you know, because, yeah. and you start looking at things and I'm a believer in meant to be stuff. Right. And so there's a lot of teams that I, like, I look at all that stuff, but at the same time is I also realize we say no to way more homes than we ever say yes to. And we know those markets are massive. We know there's opportunities there, but not every home's an opportunity. And you have to go through that process a little bit too, as you go through, right. And what, you know, for whatever reason, certain homes don't work out. And I do believe that a lot of it is meant to be, but it's meant to be because we're kind of running through those numbers. We're doing our homework, figuring out the reasons it's going to work or not going to work, because no market's perfect. No property's perfect. So you always have that in the back of your mind when you're going through this. And on your first one, you're like, I don't want to mess this up. Right. And so you're like, so you're going through all of that. You know, on the first one, obviously you guys have had the experience of investing in real estate in the past. Walk me through when the right one came around and how that felt and what looked different and what kind of helped with that decision.
Well, it was one of those, it was meant to be, because we had almost given up. I say not given up, but kind of like, you know what, let's just
hold button.
Let's hit the hold button, because we had made three offers, and they were all single family homes. So they mm-hmm. were really stretching our budget. Single family homes that we were trying
even
to
talking
get,
about knocking down walls, adding bathrooms. I mean, it just kept getting really more and more and more,
and more expensive.
The area we wanted to be in.
Right. I mean, you just could not find anything. We couldn't get anything house-wise for under 1.5.
Right.
And it was just, we were like, golly, there's got to be a better way or a way to get into this market for less than that. And so our real estate agent is a really good friend of ours. He's been down there on 30A, knows the market like the back of his hand. And so he kind of knew what we were trying to do. So I think in early October of last year is kind of when we were like, you know what, we made an offer on this house, and this house had been on the market for 11 months and the owner didn't even respond to our offer. And we're just like, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
They know that they can hang on to it and they'll eventually get what they want out of it. So
yeah.
We're like, okay, let's just pause it. And then Joe, our friend, calls and says, hey, do you have to be in a house? He said, are you open to a townhome? Not even a condo, like not in a high rise condominium, but like some nice townhomes. And we were like, we haven't really thought of that. And we said, okay, yeah, we'd be open to it. He said, I know of an area that rents out great. It's a fabulous, fabulous area.
Family friendly too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Family friendly. It's a high demand area. Anyway, so he told us about it, and we looked at it and kind of fell in love with it. We knew the area very well, and it's kind of funny. We're like, why didn't we even think of this area in the first place?
Yeah.
But the big thing is just, to give some perspectives, the numbers, these units were selling for about $300,000 more than what we paid for it. They were selling for that for about two and a half years ago.
Okay.
So they took a real, they just took a hit. And he told us that, and we, I think we even saw it like, okay, that's a good entry point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The market's depressed in this area just a little bit for whatever reason. And so, yeah, all the amenities, everything around it, the beach accesses, near all the restaurants that we love dearly down there, and things to do. So Yeah. It's in a townhome complex of 220 units. Okay. And there is not a single unit, as far as I can tell, with the exception of maybe two, and they're not even to Vodacy level, but nobody else is doing anything extraordinary. Yeah. And they all rent very well.
Yeah. And so they rent well, but they're all pretty close to the same, right? Like when you look at something like, so you mentioned that, and I want to highlight it as for listeners, you saw that as an opportunity, like saying, hey, listen, we can go in here. They're doing pretty well. It's a great location, proximity, which is the number one thing we look at in most markets. Mm-hmm. You know, right. That was a, you know, that box was checked, your access to the beaches, all that kind of stuff with your proximity. All those boxes were checked and you're looking and saying, hey, listen, how can we, you know, stand out? And now you're looking and saying, well, we know how, right? And so now that how comes with additional costs and all those different things that we talk about, right? And so it's like, then you, so you first see it as an opportunity, but then we have to budget for all of it and making sure that that we're like, okay, where are we going to come in? As you started running the numbers, looking at everything, kind of walking into this, are there things that you like walk me through like the timeline of the offer and kind of the timeline of what we're in the middle of right now in the setup phase? Like, when did that start? Because you guys bought, before we start there, you mentioned when we're in this acquisition phase, like I'm a huge believer of having the right team, right? And you mentioned you had a phenomenal realtor down there helping you, a friend that you've known, knows the market by like the back of the hand. Like, that is massively important. Even though you think you know the area, I mean, it is like, I would love to, you know, give a shout out to him, but also speak to the importance of having somebody, I think you said his name was Joe, like Joe on your team, right? Yep. And so it's because like, I think a big mistake that people make is they think I've been going here for 30 years. I've been doing this for a long time. I know this area. The little nuances that those right team members bring to the deal and everything is invaluable. And it's a massive help when it goes through that process, right?
100%.
Absolutely. Yeah, Joe kept sending us houses that were over 1.5, and I kept telling him, tell him to stop it. Don't even send those our way. That's not possible.
I don't even want to see him, right?
Right, yeah. Well, he,
because then I want them, right?
I know, right? That's why I don't want to see him. I don't even want to see him because I love him.
I mean, I would say the majority of homeowners down there, even when you're in the top tier, $2-5 million homes, people are still renting them out when when they're not there, you know, to get a return on them. But it's invaluable. Someone like him, they just know all the little nuances. Down there, what to take into consideration. He knew that we wanted to target families that are similar to us. Kids, we have teenagers now, but we wanted a place where, because this is our favorite thing to do, we wanted a place where two families could travel together with their kids and stay in the same unit for a week. That was our target audience, because that is who we are. That's how we like to travel. Matter of fact, we went down there just this last week for the first time since we bought it and took some friends and stayed in it for 4 days and had a blast and did some work trying to prep for what's about to come over the next couple of weeks. But it was great. And so we told him that, and that is why he suggested this community where we bought, because he said it is the number one place, townhome community on 30A for family rentals.
Yeah.
He goes, as a matter of fact, he goes, I don't know why I didn't tell you about this earlier, because it has a huge resort style pool.
Yeah.
The way everything is set up is so easy and safe for kids to run down the street and go to the pool when the parents are still in their unit. Yeah. You know, all this different stuff, walkable restaurants from there. So,
and I mean, I loved how you just explained your target audience, right? It's like, hey, listen, who are we going to design this for, and who's going to come visit? And again, I always say you should be part of your target audience. You should be like, I don't travel in big groups ever. I don't like traveling with a lot of people. I like to have just a small group. And so I don't ever buy big properties. The biggest property I've ever owned was a 4-bedroom, and it was I've never owned over all the years anything over a 4-bedroom because I don't travel that way. And so, you know, I don't do big group travel stuff. And so I buy what I'm going to be using. I buy the type of the audience that would be similar to me. And the traveler, you guys are the same. It's like, hey, listen, we want two families with kids to be able to do this. The benefits of these, a lot of townhomes, like you start with the single family homes, but a lot of the townhome or condo communities, is their proximity is usually really good. In areas like 30A, they're purpose built. So they've got resort style amenities. You've got all those extras that, you know, if you had it on a single family home, it's just that extra cost, right? You're paying for all that stuff. And you've got HOA fees, but you've got these massive resort style amenities and great proximity for everybody to go use. And that's really fun a lot of times, especially for kids and stuff, to not just sit in the pool in the backyard. Sometimes they like to go and hang out with other kids and see other people going. And that's part of the experience. And so there's another benefit to those, you know, not having the single family and leaning toward the townhome. Condos, like most of the condos are on the beach, right? A lot of the high-rise condos, their proximity's on the beach. And so you've got that extra benefit with that. When when we've been on our AMA calls and the coaching calls and stuff, you've mentioned a number of times how much you like your property manager. Did that relationship start to build before the acquisition or after the acquisition?
Probably right before we closed on it. Right. We were trying to interview some different property managers other than the one that currently had the home when we purchased it.
Right.
But right off the bat, the phone call with the existing property manager was very reassuring, and they were very...
They were...
generous, for lack of a better word. I mean, accommodating maybe is a better word.
Yeah. They were just really nice, family-owned. The actual owner reached out to me, and I kind of told him, you know, what our goals were with the property and what we wanted to do, the work that we were going to put into it. And of course, he got excited and was just flat out like, man, we don't have a client that's going to do what it sounds like you're going to do to your property. So he said, I can't wait to see what happens. He said, it's great. And he was the one that I think I told you on that call that it was so neat. He so appreciated it. It was when I told him, hey, how can we be a good owner for you? And he goes, you know, nobody's ever asked me that before. Yeah. He said, I so appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a great way to start the conversation, right?
Oh, yeah,
but it's sincere too. So I always tell them, hey, I want to be your best client. What does that mean to you? Like, what can I do to be your best client? And people are like, man, it's awesome. I love that you asked me that. So he appreciated that one.
Yeah, he did. He did. So yeah, we right off the bat, I think we were, you know, the property's a 7.5 to 8 hour drive from our home. So it's not like I can run down there in an afternoon and do some things. So I was weighing heavily on that PM and their boots on the ground people to really do a lot of things for us. Like, hey, can you run over and measure this or, you know, whatever it was. And they were so accommodating. I mean, just really over the top. And so I thought, okay, hey, we'll see. We'll give them a shot and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is actually rare that property managers, and there's a lot of really good ones out there. And so I'm not going to say there's not, but it is the Achilles heel of this business first and foremost. And it is rare that property managers are open to having somebody be different and maximize their assets the way that we do, because sometimes they don't want to deal with the rest of the owners that aren't the same, right? And they kind of want everybody to blend in and get their equal share and everything else. And so many of them are resistant to somebody that really wants to maximize their assets. And it's always really exciting when you hear on the front end that they're excited. They're like, man, nobody's ever done this. I'm like, I'm really excited to see it. So I think that's you know, the odds are stacked in your favor that this is going to be a good one to be able to, because it's the goals are aligned, right? It's like, hey, listen, they're going to appreciate the investment that you guys are doing on that. And so, this is like December timeframe, right? This is when closing was happening, December-ish.
December 5th is when we closed on the property. Yep.
And so there's this emotional cycle of change that we go through, right? And so the first is like that uninformed optimism. And that's kind of December, right? We're like, okay, this is when everything sounds really good and super optimistic. And as time goes on, we start to be like this informed pessimism starts to set in. And that's the stage that you've been working on, this setup phase, right? Really, really organizing the design, setting up everything, trying to get it all installed, trying to get this thing back on the market. And then there's this valley of despair, and that's when most people give up before they get through it. And so we're like in this, like we're like on this downward slide as far as our attitude goes. And so, you know, I appreciate the smiles that you guys are having and the attitude that you have, because I know that you're in the middle of that. In the middle of that slide right now, because it happens to all of us every time we go through one. Doesn't matter how many I've done. I never enjoy this part of the process. I love looking back and saying, "Look what I did! I can do hard stuff, and I'm so glad that we did it, and we get the rewards from it." But right now, when you're in the middle of it, it's hard. So let's walk me through some of that you're feeling right now, because our launch date, this is going to come out and publish end of February, and our launch date is still a month away, right? We're still about a month away before we're going to be coming to launch. So we're right in the middle of that slide. So I'm guessing you're feeling that.
Oh yeah. And just in all transparency, one of my biggest concerns is the property manager aspect of it. Although it does appear like it could work out, because I'm such a OCD guy and want things done right. I mean, we were talking about earlier before the call, the type of coffee maker that, you know, we want in there. I want a higher end, you know, coffee maker, probably more than what we really need, but want that wow factor. But again, just all the things that have to happen over the next three weeks. It's
the lists keep getting longer. I promise you, I'm filling up a notebook.
Yeah. Well, launch date's around March 28th, I believe, is hopefully when we'll have the pictures back, put them online and go off to the races. So,
We're before our summertime, but we still are leaving some money on the table, because we're leaving spring break money on the table.
Right? Yes. In the back of our mind, like, golly, is there any way that we can get this? And it wasn't going to happen. We're like,
in the middle of it all. Yeah.
Yeah. It is what it is. Let's just do our best. This is the first year. This is the setup. We know we're leaving some money on the table, but this is all we can do. Work as hard as we can to get it done, at least before the peak season, which I think we're going to be well before. Yeah. And we'll be able to enter that summer phase very ready to capitalize on that. So,
and personally, I'm very excited. I'm kind of still in that fingers crossed phase. Is this all going to work out?
Yeah.
But it reminds me that everything down there, even in this neighborhood, it all looks the same.
Yeah.
So you can stay in this house next door, the house across the street, and it's going to be almost the same experience. But our hopes is that our Vodacy house is so different than everything else that it draws the attention of.
Well, so much so that interest. Everything looks the same that we had. I failed to mark off the calendar of the unit, and someone booked the unit on the 27th, that Saturday when Mike's install is going to be. Getting done like the day after, or actually the morning of. Mike said, "We'll be out the morning of the 27th. And I was like, "Oh shoot, somebody just booked it." I called the PM and she literally said, she goes, "We've got several other units in that complex that won't even know. Yours. Mm-hmm. We'll just move them to that unit. They really probably won't even notice." And, when she said that and I got off the phone call with her, I was like, well, after March, they will not be able to move somebody out of our property because there's not going to be another one like it.
Yeah. And it's such a good thing. And it's such, like, you know, it is, it's not that these ones that all look the same. They all look like model homes. They all look beautiful. They it's not like they're
five-star reviews from every renter that's rented it up till now. So it's not a bad place.
No. And it's like people coming in, they're like, man, this is beautiful. I love it. This is awesome. It's nice. It's comfortable. All of this stuff. But they become commodities in a lot of these markets. And, you know, it used to be you could stand out that way. That just isn't the case anymore. Those properties are now a commodity. And so, you know, you go in and you do something like with the Vodacy Signature Design, and it's not going to look the same, right? To your point, it is very different. You're not going to be able to move somebody from your property to somebody else's. And what a great example of that, like where the property manager's like, oh, don't even worry about it. They probably won't even know because we've got other properties in there and they all look the same, right? And they're all nice, and they're probably going to be super happy, but they're not going to be happy when they move out of the one done, right? The new one. And so, and it is like, that's what we want as a consumer, right? We want, like, we pay for personalization. We pay for something unique. We want to justify why we would pay more or why we would book something above and beyond something else. And that's what you're really giving the consumer, right? And that's why you're investing the time and the effort and waiting for this, right? This takes a lot longer. It's a, you know, 8 to 12 week process, many cases to get from, you know, to do a Vodacy Signature Design. That's a long time, right? And it's like, man, you know, I'm leaving some money on the table, but the goal is, you know, we get past the fingers crossed stage, Ari, and we get into the, okay, now I see that I'm getting those returns. And, you know, I'm really excited for you to get to that stage. If I could figure out how to not have to do this phase, that we would have done it a long time ago. It is a necessary evil for us, and just part of that journey that we go through. But it's also why it is such an advantage and why less people will do it, because it is hard and it does take time and it is a big commitment. I don't think people realize until they've done it and had to make the choice of, I just closed on a property in December that's costing me money and supposed to be an investment, and I'm not even going to launch it until April, right? That's a big decision, just that in and of itself, let alone the other investment of everything else into it. And so it is, it's hard decisions along the way. It's taken the path of the most resistance, the hardest path, not the easy road that you're going to travel on. But, our goal is to have those payoffs at the end of the day. And so, you know, it's still, you know, and that's why we run the numbers and that's why we think about the possibilities. And that's why you surround yourself with other people that are doing it. Like, you know, Matt, you were talking about, you know, talking to Anthony, and you guys had a conversation with somebody, you know, one of our other Vodacy members, and you're able to say, hey, listen, I know this stage sucks right now, but it is, there's a big payoff at the end of the day and it is worth it. So, you're in the middle of it. Oh, go ahead, Ari. Sorry.
Well, just as first time STR investors and me being less risky than this guy, finding a property and then him being able to say, let me send it to the Vodacy guys, or let me contact so and so through Vodacy, and let them run the numbers for me and get back. And this is their thoughts. That's super comforting for me to have other professionals, not just us, take a look at some of these numbers, these properties.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah.
And get that extra support to make that launch and jump into it. So,
right. Yeah. And I appreciate you saying that. It's what, and one of the biggest benefits is just being able to be around other people that have done it and have done it so many times that we can look at it and say, yeah, the T's look crossed, the I's look dotted. Here's what we would do. Here's a mistake I've made before. Don't do this, because you will learn. I'm telling you, as long as we've done this, every deal we go through, there's things that we were like, man, I would have done this different. I would, and you're like, you would think you would have seen everything and thought of everything over the years. And you just don't. There's just stuff that comes up. But we mitigate the risks to the point where we can deal with those things that do come up still, right? But they're still going to come up. We just don't know which ones are going to come up on which deal, right? Because it's like there's always going to be a couple dragons. I just don't know which color dragon's going to show up on this
one, right? That's right. And
So you have been able to actually go use it a little bit, at least gone down with some friends, right? Because it was bought furnished. And so was it bought furnished? I'm assuming it was if you're using it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fully furnished.
Yeah. And so you're getting the rest of that design done. We're about a month away. I know that list continues to grow. Are there big items that you're navigating right now that you're like feel like you're like, that feels overwhelming? Or is it just like, hey, listen, it's just, it's 100 golden BBs, not like one big silver bullet I've got to solve?
Yeah, it is. I would say the 100 golden BBs for sure. It's part of our design that we're doing is we're building out part of the garage. And this is something I didn't even think of on the front end. We're building out a kind of a half of our garage is going to be a gaming area for kids, arcades, big screen TV, couches, things like that. Well, it's in a garage and there's no AC and we're in Florida in the summertime.
And we're the middle garage with two outside garages. So there's no outside wall.
There's no exterior wall. I was telling Mike, you know, we've got to figure out how to get AC into this garage if we're going to build this out. And of course, just like every other HOA down there, they're pretty strict on what they allow. And so we're trying to get a mini split put into this garage, but the condenser unit has to go on the outside of the building. So I went and met with the HOA president while we were down there last week, turned in all the paperwork, told them what we were wanting to do. So right now, that board is meeting next Tuesday for us and one other request to tell us whether or not we're going to be able to do that, which really is going to tell us whether or not we're going to be able to build out that garage, which is, yeah. I'm like, oh man. So it's
down to the wire.
It's down to the wire really, because then we have to get all the furniture and everything. Yeah. We've got to wait till next week to get that approval. Then we've got to order all the stuff and hopefully that it gets there in time. So
it's one of those things you mentioned. It's like that dragon. It didn't even cross our minds to think about how to actually air conditioning the garage till, you know, last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's logistically, when you start going through it, you're like, man, there's a lot of logistics that have to happen to do this. It's like, oh yeah, we could use the garage as a game room and we'll build it out and we could do all this stuff. And then you think, oh man, I gotta put AC in this. There's no exterior walls. How are we gonna do this? Do I have to get permission? All of a sudden, it's like all these things stack up, right? And that's why these phases become fairly overwhelming. And because like we were saying, we just don't know what dragon's going to show up. So that is one of those, fingers crossed. We are going to keep our fingers crossed on that one. Like that next week we get a favorable ruling, right?
Yeah. I want to say that it's going to work, because when we were down there this week, she noticed another unit that had a mini split condenser sitting outside the building. So we snapped a picture of it. I went back to the HOA president's office and showed him a picture. I'm like, hey,
this is what we want to do.
And he looked at the picture. He goes, well, you're either going to be fine and we're going to approve you, or this person did not get approval for this. I was like, right, now I'm going to get somebody else in trouble.
No. Let's just give me the approval. You already gave it once, right?
That's right.
Right. But no, I think it's going to work out. Painters, getting painters in there. They're going to start Wednesday. It's just, you know, lots of little things to get done. But on a not quite bigger note, is, you know, bigger aspect of this, I have dealt with a little bit of stuff like this with our rental properties, but it wasn't such a time crunch really as this is. But again, hey, we're going to make it
happen. Now, you're not going to believe me when I tell you this. But you will, you know, when we talk in June, you're going to be like, okay, I get it. But like the biggest thing I hear right after all this happens, you launch the property, from most investors that are in this, they feel like they're not doing enough. They're like, I don't have anything to do. Like I was going 100 miles an hour for 4 months, and now I feel like something's wrong because I'm not really doing anything, right? And so you will get to that stage where you're like, okay, we're doing all this, setting it up correctly, and then hopefully it becomes more of a, okay, it's just a set it and forget it, and we let our property managers do their jobs. We did our job as an investor, getting them the right asset, setting it up correctly. And then you're going to wonder if something's wrong because you're not doing enough. And so that's the stage we want to get to. But I don't know why, but for whatever reason, for all of our Vodacy members, that seems to be equally as stressful. And I'm like, and this is where you enjoy. Go get yourself a drink and, like, have fun.
Right. You know? Hey, yeah, relax.
Yeah, this is the time you relax. The bookings are coming in. We're starting to make some money, and you feel like you have to do more because you've been going 100 miles an hour for 4 months.
Yeah. So it has rented a few times since we purchased it, and it's great to get a text message from him going, "Guess what? I just got a notification that the house has already been rented."
Yeah, that's awesome.
Waiting for that.
Keep your spirits up while you're in the middle of the trenches of
yeah, that's new. Always a very nice bonus when you do have one that was an existing STR mm-hmm. and you just kind of let it roll while you're going through all this and organizing it, and then you pull it offline when you have to mm-hmm. do the work. But it's it is nice to have a few of those bookings filter in throughout that time frame.
Right.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Listen, this has been an awesome conversation. I want to answer from both of you. I always, at the end of these, I put you a little bit on the spot. I want you to think about some of the things as you're in the middle of this that if when we do property number two, that you wish you knew, that maybe you would do different. You know, any advice you would give your younger self on just the process itself of even just what would you say about, you know, getting into this type of a game? Like, is there any advice you'd give your younger self or try to remember for property number two as you go on, so that somebody listening to this can think, hey, I'm gonna remember that and not either make that same mistake or take some advice on how to move forward?
Ooh, I think it just popped in my mind. Just trust the process. This is a proven process. You guys have a huge team. There's been people, we were talking about this earlier, there's been a lot of people go before us that have done this exact process and who are very, very successful. And it's when you're a control freak and you're wanting to do as much or make sure everything's done right, but just following the process and the training that you guys give. I mean, I think that would be, because we're already kind of talking, hey, where is our next property going to be? when we're ready. And I'm already kind of dreaming about, all right, I'm going to be way more relaxed this next time and just know that I've got a process that is proven. Yeah. And I'm just going to follow it and not get so worked up and just... Yeah. And trust the process, you know?
I appreciate that. That's I agree. There, like, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel at this stage in the game.
Right? Oh, no.
There's just no reason to. Ari, what would you add to that?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, maybe be more patient even, just like he's saying. Trust the process. Be more patient. And, you know, we kind of put ourselves in a bind with this whole spring break idea. We wanted to be launched by spring break. And so we've been pushing to make that happen. So maybe pick, I don't know.
There's always going to be a spring break, like on the horizon, where you're like, okay, I want to hit this date or I want to do that. That's a really good piece of advice too, is kind of be flexible with, like, because it is a process. There's a lot of logistics behind the scenes. Like, even a great example of the mini split. It's like, okay, we can't even get everything ordered for the garage until we know whether we're going to get this. And then by the time we order it, there's lead times on stuff. And so there's all things that have to fall in line for things to happen when it goes through this process. And sometimes those dates that we set on ourselves and those deadlines that we put place on ourselves are sometimes just not realistic. And we have to be able to say, hey, listen, don't make, you know, I always tell people, don't make, you know, really fast decisions on short-term events. Like, if a short-term event happens, these are long-term investments. These are long-term decisions that have that have implications for years. So, and sometimes those dates, those deadlines we place on ourselves force us into different decisions and short-term decisions that might not be our best long-term scenario, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think both of those great pieces of advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll say one more thing. And I've said this so many times, I think Ari's heard me say just out loud to myself, I'm like, I would never attempt this without, you know, being a part of Odyssey, just because you don't know what you don't know. And it can be daunting, but man, it's just like, I don't know, I'm trying to, it's like going to trial over something that you hope you never are having to go to trial over. You want the best team representing you as possible, or you want the best people that you know around you so that you have the best shot, you know? Yeah. And, it's, that is, what's given us the most confidence is the community there.
Resources,
all that's involved with Vodacy. I mean, it's made it, and it's so fun. It's fun.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you saying that. It is so fun for me. It's so fun to be, like I tell people all the time, like as much as I put together Vodacy and as proud as I am of what we've put together, this is a collective knowledge base. This is a collective, you know, coaching community and everything else. It's not Sean's program anymore. There are so many successful investors, people like you guys, that are willing to, you know, it's like a pay it forward type of a program. And I don't know, like, I'm so glad that it turned into that. It's, you know, I'm so grateful that we have such a community like we do, because there's so many people that have, you know, been a part of refining this process. To your point, there is a process, there is a blueprint. It's really paint by numbers at this stage. And it is what it is because so many people have been able to pay it forward and learn from mistakes, and we iterate and we adjust, and then we just all collectively say, here's how and here's what works and here's what doesn't work. We're gonna double down on what works, and we're gonna mitigate our risk by avoiding those things that don't. And it's really a fun to be a part of that. And I appreciate you saying that. It is. I would echo it and feel the same way. Just even being the kind of the organizer of it, I just feel like I'm just part of it, right? I'm just another investor in the group now. So it's a lot of fun, and I appreciate you guys being open to have this conversation at this stage in the game. A lot of people tell us when we ask them to jump on a podcast right now, I will tell you, I get a lot of no's. Like, oh, let me see if it's going to work first. You know? Yeah, it is. It's fun. Not fun always in the middle of it, but it can be. You can appreciate the amount of work and effort and everything too, right? I mean, yeah. I've been in most of us that have, you know, in life, we've been through a lot of hard times, and we look back, we're like, man, I'm pretty proud of myself for doing that. You should be proud of yourself for being in as far as you are right now, and we're close to being done. And then when we're waiting around, we'll find that property number two. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Well, listen, go have a great rest of your day. I appreciate you letting everybody listening on this conversation. Those of you that are listening, you know that our goal is to help you walk into this game with your eyes wide open. We hope that every one of these conversations helps you do that. You know, we don't run ads or sponsorships on the show, so the only way the show grows is if you guys share it. And if you know somebody that wants to be a part of short-term rental investing, share the show. Those things are very much appreciated. If you don't know anybody and you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the algorithm will share it with other people like you that might be interested in short-term rental investing. Those things are always appreciated. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.